Sweet Martha's Cookies. Gary's here. Thank you.
It's the best cookie ever.
Oh, so good.
It really is.
I forgot, like,
Sweet Martha's the best.
Man, if Andy Greeter was here, he could have a cookie with us.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Greeter, Pioneer Press, joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Andy, good morning.
Morning. Is that your way of guilting me right out of the gate?
I don't know why you're not here, man. I swear to you, you know, we ask you to come out here. Well,
probably
sit up
I asked
on the
him
front.
Last night at like 8 o'clock. I'm like, hey, do you have time to come out? Andy, we've been talking a little bit about the game already, how it felt like this was it was a good game, but just kind of not enough. After the game, I know PJ, you know, he kind of has his party line of, you know, we didn't have enough plays. We didn't have, you know, we didn't do enough things right. But in terms of how they rebound from this and what needs to happen, obviously Rhode Island is not the same foe of North Carolina's caliber. But if you could pick one or two things, or he picked one or two things that really need to be fixed immediately, what are those things?
I would say penalties. I think that was a huge factor. I think when you looked at the five penalties that they had, I think three of them were on North Carolina offensive drives that kept them alive, and they got 10 points out of those three penalties over two drives. So that was just back. I thought they did a pretty good job overall. Obviously, Omarion Hampton is one of the best running backs in the nation, and he was able to break some tackles and have over a 100-yard day. But they took pretty much everything else away from them outside of those penalties. I think that's probably the biggest thing that needs to be cleaned up, and I think they need to be more sound on the offensive line. You know, they didn't block things very well on some of the run scheme stuff that they did, and new quarterback Max Grosmer was sacked five times, which is a very rare thing for this Gopher team to be allowing that many sacks.
Andy, is there any chance that we do a shakeup at all? I know it's only game one, and we're the only Big Ten team to play a real team for the most part.
Right.
So, you know, I think that has to be said as well, because everybody else is playing teams with a lot of directions in their name, you know, Southwest Missouri State and stuff like that. But,
sure.
Andy, as far as the offensive line, I was really disappointed because I came into this year, I've said it on the radio a lot, this is a big, strong, we should be able to lean on this offensive line, not just for running, but for throwing. Give up five sacks. How do we give up five sacks? What is it about our offensive line that they just couldn't step up to the plate?
Yeah, I think it was probably their number two position group, second strongest position group outside of the D-line going into this year. They returned 80% of their starts from a year ago. But Martez Lewis was playing guard last year. Now he's playing tackle. I thought he had a really poor game at right tackle. Yeah, I wonder if Philip Daniels, who is a young player who the Gophers are really high on, he hasn't played yet for the Gophers. So I think throwing him at right tackle against North Carolina would probably be a bit of a stretch, and they wanted to go with a guy that had a lot more experience. While that sort of backfired on him, I wouldn't be surprised if Philip Daniels plays some against Rhode Island this coming weekend, just because I like him, and I think they do need to mix things up, and they need to have a bit of a rotation and find a better answer at right tackle. It's been something that's been a problem for them for a number of years. You know, Quinn Carroll had been there for the previous 2 years, but he's better at guard, and they made a full-time switch to play him at guard because they feel like that's, like I said, his best spot and where he projects to play at the next level. But right tackle continues to be a problem for them. And we certainly saw that on Saturday night.
You know, Andy, you said exactly what I wanted to ask you. And just a quick follow-up on that. I didn't want to jump on Dave or anything. But Philip Daniels, everything I know about him, and I've been at practice and seen what he does, he needs to be on the field. I like the grit that guy shows. He reminds me of Joe Alt, not necessarily at that level. I'm not saying that, but he reminds me because he comes with anger. He's a guy who's going to hit you in the back a little bit, but it's still going to be legal, but he's going to go downfield and make blocks 20 yards downfield. He's that kind of a guy. I think he needs to be on the field. I really do. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I do think he needs to be at least part of the rotation. I think, you know, when you look at it last year, you know, Greg Johnson, who's now the starting center, and he played most of the year last year, but it took him a little while before he got up and running. You look at Darius Taylor last year, you know, he didn't play. I think he maybe had one carry in the Nebraska game in last year's season opener, and then he started to get his feet underneath him, and then he started to play a little bit more. So I wonder if Philip Daniels will kind of be in that same mold, because yes, he's not afraid to mix it up, to get a little feisty, to play with a little bit of an edge. I did a story about some of the off-field things that the Gophers were doing last year, and I got to interview Philip for that story. You know, the Gophers are pretty guarded about letting freshmen speak to the media, but he was a very impressive young man. He was very caring and giving in his time to a you know, Gopher fan who has disabilities, who is on the program. So, you know, it's probably that great mix of a type of guy, you know, where you're kind off it and you're mean on it.
Andy Greeter joining us from the Pioneer Press. Andy, I have two quick ones for you. First of all, Darius Taylor, I know it was said that he was close. Do we see him next week or not?
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a story about that right now because I wonder where that's going to go, because obviously Rhode Island is the FCS level school, and after that is Nevada, and they're 1-1. They had to come back from 14 down against Troy yesterday. They're picked to finish last in the Mountain West. So he's believed to have a hamstring injury. It's also what cost him half of the year last year. As you guys know, hamstring injuries can be pretty persnickety and can be prone to being aggravated. So you kind of want to be cautious with him, given his injury history, and looking forward to who they have on the schedule the next 2 weeks. And then after that, the Big Ten season starts with the Iowa Hawkeyes coming to Huntington Bank Stadium. So I wonder how much he's going to go over these next 2 weeks. Do you want to kind of have him get some reps, have him get hit a few times, be tackled to kind of get ready and ready for what's going to be a very difficult Buckeye defense, or do you kind of put him in bubble wrap for the next 2 weeks and make sure that hamstring is good and ready to go? I think Marcus Major did pretty well in his time, the Oklahoma transfer. So I think that there's, you know, something there to kind of rely on over these next weeks. So I think that's kind of one of the big questions is truly how close was he? You know, PJ Fleck is not the most, to borrow a literary phrase, most reliable narrator when it comes to injuries. So when he says really close, how close does that mean, and how much is he willing to put him out there as they round out non-conference play?
I wouldn't. I would keep him in bubble wrap for the next 2 weeks. My only other question is, and we talked about this last segment with Max Brosmer, was his performance, I think you can characterize as inconsistent throughout the game. Was that because of the adjustment and just kind of seeing Big Ten football for the first time, or as we had talked about, did the offensive line just not give him the time that he deserved?
I think it's a combination of both. I that first third down throw that he had across the middle to tight end Jamison Gears, he kind of airmailed that one. I think you can really chalk that up. He had time to be able to throw that ball, and I just think kind of the stage that he's on, I think he's talked about it as well. You know, we talked to him, you know, when we were out at the fair, you know, last Thursday, and he talked about kind of learning about what the environment's going to be like, that's not being just watching a YouTube video, right? Obviously, he's coming from the FCS level, so it's a big jump for him. So I think it's pretty understandable to have some nerves. But yeah, I think when you're sacked and you're pressured and you're having tip balls due to the issues that you have along the offensive line, that's not going to be a good position for a quarterback to be in. But I think he was better when they played with some tempo late in the game. I wonder if that's going to be something that they try to incorporate a little bit more. I think anybody that's watched PJ Fleck knows how much he cares about time of possession. So I don't know how realistic that's going to be, but I think he started to settle in. I think he'll be able to kind of get his feet underneath him over these next couple of weeks and kind of iron out some of the issues that he has and come into this level. Because like Pete talked about, you know, there was a lot of Big Ten games here this week, and the Gophers probably had the stiffest competition of any of them. And I saw a number of Big Ten teams struggle. I saw, you know, Wisconsin have their issues against Western Michigan until Western Michigan had a muffed punt. Iowa was struggling the first half against Illinois State. And there were Michigan State was struggling as well. So there were issues around the Big Ten that were kind of against lower level competition. So when you look at the Gophers, even though it was sloppy and even though they weren't able to get it done, I think you really have to take into account that it was a legitimate opponent, and those are some of the things that you have to iron out in the first game, because there's no preseason, there's no real kind of scrimmages on another color, and you kind of have to deal with some of the unsightliness in these opening games against quality foes.
Unsightliness is a good characteristic of that game. Andy, thanks so much, man. We appreciate the time. I'll save some of these Sweet Martha's cookies for you next time I see you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back. We got the fast break. It's the Huddle live from the Minnesota State Fair.